Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. You'll have another episode of Drunk History next month. You got Pat Swilling Drunk History from Season 2. You got the worst play in Saints history. Listen to those. They're awesome. People are listening to them. We've got over 3,000 listens if you count the feeds combined. So everybody's enjoying them that donated the $20 to make it happen. We appreciate it. Go there. Do it. It's awesome. All right, so the Saints did a free agent move, kind of, sort of. They signed wide receiver for the Bears, Cameron Meredith, former quarterback. So if they get him, Andrew, we can have trick plays galore, right?
But we'll know Wednesday, I think, right? I think that's the deadline.
But Wednesday's the deadline, yeah.
Here's the thing that is interesting, but it also kind of infuriates me, right? Like, Jimmy Graham told the Saints no, right? Because they offered more, Green Bay offered more money and whatever. And then Ndamukong Suh said no because the Rams offered more money and they had a ton of cap space. So the Saints finally get a dude who says yes to their money, and he turned down more from Baltimore because who wants to catch passes from Joe Flacco, right? They finally get a dude to say yes, and they might not get him. So, Andrew, this guy, like, caught 60 passes 2 years ago, but he didn't play at all last year. Like, I know we talked about him a little, but you got real when they signed him Friday. You were looking at YouTube clips. You got really fucking excited, right? You were texting me.
Yeah, I mean, if you the one guy that he looks at on tape, if you look at his highlights from now, he didn't play last year because he had the ACL. But if you look at his highlights, I mean, he looks like Mike Thomas. I mean, he really does, especially after the catch. You know, he's just strong and physical, and he's good after the catch, and he can get vertical a little bit, and he's got great hands. So first thing I do is I Google him and look at his size. The exact same measurements as Mike Thomas. It's crazy. So, you know, I think, you know, the one thing I'll say about Thomas, which is kind of exceptional, is just his strong hands. Like, you know,
hand yoga.
He really attacks the ball. And, you know, there's no one in the league that I would say is like him. But if anything, I noticed Meredith maybe get a little bit more separation when he went vertical than Thomas does. So, you know, I think there's a little give and take there, but style-wise, similar. And, you know, I think he would probably replace a lot of the routes that Brandon Coleman runs. And, you know, I think they would move him around. I mean, you know, Sean Payton's going to get a guy involved if he has those kind of skills. But if you have both of those guys, and let's say the Saints draft a tight end or even Ben Watson on the field, to me, that helps third down efficiency big time.
Dave, the Bears.
So hopefully they don't match.
Here's the thing, though, Dave. The Bears have like a bajillion dollars in cap space. They signed Robinson from the Jaguars for like, have they paid him like $12 million a year or maybe more, $14 million? They signed Gabriel, the little white dude from Atlanta. They have Kevin White, their previous draft pick that they're paying $5 million. If they match Meredith, they're going to be paying like $30 million in wide receiver. So Dave, like, what's your sense of like, will they match or will they not?
Well, you know, we're talking about Ryan Pace here.
Yeah, it is. And they have Burton and tight end who they paid a shit ton of money.
Hold on a second. Did you say the little white dude?
Yeah, Tyler Gabriel, right? From Atlanta. He's the little white dude.
First of all, it's Taylor. Second of all, he is not white.
I thought he was. My bad.
Not even remotely.
My bad. He's little. He's little, and
He's not even like Willie Snead white.
I didn't think he was white, but I wasn't so sure of myself that I was going to say something. But as soon as Andrew said, I was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure Andrew's
my
white.
Bad, Tyler I Gabriel.
I don't remember him being white.
Look, not that it matters, man. I don't care, but like." Just let's just, you know, if you're gonna point out the guy's race, at least be right about it.
Sorry, Taylor. You are right. He is not a Caucasian. He's not. My bad.
He is little. I'll give you
5'8".
Yeah.
I just see little dudes and I automatically think they're Wes Welker. That's it. It's just every little midget receiver I see, I'm like, it's Wes Welker.
Who is white?
He is.
Coincidentally.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, you know, we got to keep in mind that Ryan Pace is the one calling the shots up in Chicago, former Saints front office guy.
You got to wonder, too, if he's a little bitter about Josh Hill, because we matched on Josh Hill and he tried to poach him.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. And there's, again, just the fact that who doesn't like to take a chance to stick it to your old team whenever you can.
Well, here's the thing.
You know, even if things weren't amicable when you left, it's still, you know, you still, I mean, like to show the old guy who's.
But here's the thing that I try to figure out if I'm thinking if they're going to match, right, is they have $30 million of cap space. So everybody's like, it doesn't matter, they can match it. But if they had $30 million of cap space, why not just tender him at 2.9 instead of 1.9? And then it would have been a second-round draft pick, and nobody would have tried to sign him. You know, so, like, the cap space issue, Andrew, can't you see it working both ways? Like, if they really wanted him, they could have just, you know.
Who?
The Bears. Like, if they really wanted to keep Meredith and nobody to touch him, they could have just tendered him at 2.9, and it would have been a second-round pick, and nobody would have touched him, right?
Well, I think it's clear they did not want to sign him at 2.9 because they went out and got a bunch of other receivers that cost more than that.
Yeah, so, like, so what?
They took a risk, you know. They took a risk. They put him out there, and not knowing whether anybody would take the bait or not.
I mean, I think it's similar to the risk we took with Snead. You know, the thing that I'm going to find interesting is, are the Saints going to rescind Snead's tender if this guy signs?
Oh, totally. I think so.
That'll be something to look at.
I think totally. And then he can go to Baltimore, and Baltimore can get our leftovers. Or sloppy seconds, as the kids like to say.
Or, you know, Baltimore may wait to make an offer to Snead until Meredith signs.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Or until the Bears fail to match.
I mean, I don't know. I can see a lot of things because the Bears next year, if they think Kevin White, who's been a bust, if he's gone, then you're and Gabriel's so-so, then you're paying your, and Meredith is good, you're paying your number two like $5 million, so it's not that crazy. Here's the thing that I don't know, Dave, like the rules on, like, could the Bears be like, look, Saints, we're going to match, and then we'll do a trade. And I don't know does anybody know the mechanics?
Yeah,
in the NBA, you can't, like, when you sign a dude, you sign him, you can't trade him until December, and they have all these weird rules. What's the rules in the NBA?
No, I mean, remember when the Saints signed, who was that running back they signed in free agency?
Michael Bennett.
Yes, and then they drafted a guy, and they were like, "Yeah, we don't have room for
Bush."
You,
so they drafted Reggie. Drafted Reggie Bush. Right. But I mean, he wasn't. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, he wasn't a restricted free agent. They just, like, he was just.
There's no rules for that, though. They can trade him at any time. So, in other words, I mean, that's what the Saints were talking about with Malcolm Butler. They were saying, "Sign your tender with the Patriots, then we'll trade for you."
Oh, okay.
Remember, it was slightly different in that they didn't have an offer.
Yeah, because the Patriots would have been like, yeah, we won't match. Give us their first round pick.
So, right, yeah. Right.
But I guess with Meredith, Dave, what is your gut and your instinct tell you, like, Bears match, don't match?
I think they match.
You think they match? Andrew, yep. you think they match?
I do. I just can't. I mean, of all people, I just can't can't see Ryan Pace letting an asset get away.
Well, here's the question. I forgot.
Like, even if it's not the smart move, I don't think. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
like, I just don't think he could live with himself if Loomis ever had a player.
Got him over. But here's the thing that I had the long pause when I was asking Dave a question, because I thought of it and then I forgot it because I'm drinking. Even if the Bears match, do you still think there's a trade possibility that the Saints would trade?
Absolutely.
And Dave, I'll start with you. What would you give up for Meredith if you're Mickey Loomis and Ryan Pace says we're matching? How bad do you want the guy? If you're Loomis, what do you give up for Meredith?
I don't know. I mean, I think the question really is what do the Bears want or what do the Bears need? And I don't know them well enough to know totally what they.
Well, everybody needs. Everybody needs draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a good point. It probably wouldn't even necessarily be a player for player trade.
No,
those are pretty rare. You know, if we're talking about draft picks, third, fourth, I don't know.
I would say I'd give them Miami's fifth.
Yeah, I would go no higher than a fifth.
Because then you could say we got a receiver for Stephon Anthony. In a roundabout kind of way.
But he could have been tendered at a second round pick, huh?
Meredith, they could have, yeah. But I mean, they didn't, so I don't necessarily think that, like, if they had tendered him at that, then Pace would be like, yeah, he's worth that, but they didn't, so he's not. And even still, the Saints don't have a second round pick. And
I know, but I don't know if he's necessarily that far of a drop from a second, potentially a second round tender to a.
To a fifth.
I don't know.
Mean, I think the Bears would ask, maybe Pace would ask for a third, but there's no way the Saints are giving him the third. I don't even think they'd give him a fourth, would they, Andrew?
I mean, I think it's fifth, best case. And they've got two of them, you know, so I think Loomis would be more willing to part with one to get a player of that caliber.
Oh, yeah, because I don't necessarily.
I mean, you got to remember, he's coming off the ACL, and they're willing to, you know, kind of commit to a two-year, $10 million deal. So.
The thing that was weird is.
If they're going to give him that much money and gamble on his ACL, then, you know, I mean, you can't give up more than a fifth round as an asset.
The interesting thing, Dave, is Bears writers and bloggers and all, they're kind of all over the map. Like, some of them were like, they're matching it. That's really low. He's a good player. We're keeping him. And other people were like, wow. They gave a dude who's coming off an ACL injury $10 million, $4.6 million guaranteed. They're not matching. So it's like all over the place. There's no – I mean, did either of you do research and find – I didn't find any consensus on the Bears' side of what they're going to do.
I mean, I just noticed from, like, fan blogs that he's very well liked by the fans.
Because he's so local. He's a local Illinois guy.
Yeah, so I think a lot of the fans are like, oh, man, I really hope we don't lose him. Like, we need to keep him, you know, and I think that was kind of the consensus amongst the fans. But there was definitely a sense of uneasiness, like we're not sure if the Bears will match.
Yeah, he's
– And I think again, it goes to, you know, just the number of receivers they've signed this offseason. I think that's why the Saints, you know, they didn't feel like it was a waste of time. They wanted to gamble and see if Pace would let him walk because – they had signed a number of receivers this offseason, and they, I mean, at some point you got to draw a line and basically just say, we're not going to spend that much at this position. And in fact, it's exactly what the Bears did to the Saints, because remember the Saints had signed who, man, and they had just signed Fleener to a huge deal. And I think the Bears were thinking, you know, the Saints have put in a lot of money and resources into that position.
They're not going to keep Josh Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did.
So, and the Saints did, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, for Josh Hill was like 3 years, $5.2 million. So, I mean, that's nothing. So it's a little bit different. I mean, but the thing is, I don't know. I think he's – bottom line, Dave, is Meredith going to be a Saint or not? You can say they match, they don't match, they do a trade. However you want to do it, is Meredith going to be a Saint or not?
I'm going to say no.
Andrew?
I'm with Dave. He's going to be a Bear.
I'm going to say yes. I think that's going to get done.
Ever the optimist?
I'm ever the optimist. I think it'll be...
Thinking with your heart and
I
not
think
your
it'll
brain.
Be the Bear. I think it'll be for the Dolphin fifth round pick. And I think everyone will be happy. I just, like, if the Bears really, really thought Meredith was in their plans, they wouldn't have signed a tight end and two fucking receivers. Like, I just, I mean, I don't know. That's my opinion. So, that's the only Saints news really going. And before we get to the Twitter questions, we got 3 weeks till the draft. So what we're going to do the weeks coming out is we're going to do themed drafts each week. So we got fun themes. We're going to do like all offense, all red flag team. We'll draft nothing but guys with off the field issues. But this week we're started off with, this is going to be a 5-round mock draft of names Ralph can't pronounce. So we'll go through the fan speak. We'll pick names that I can't pronounce or we think I can't pronounce, and we'll try to do it where they're rated and where the Saints pick, but that's how it goes. So I'm on the fan speak, and the Saints are up at 27. The top player available that might give me trouble is Leighton Vander Oosh. Is that how you say his name?
Leighton Vander Oosh.
At Boise State. Hey. He's a linebacker. He's rated 19th. They got Dallas Goedert. Is that how you say that? South Dakota?
Goddard.
Darius Geis. I can get that name. That's an LSU name.
That's too easy.
Yeah, that's too easy. Hayden Hurst. Kaiser White. Nah, I got that one right. Let's see. We got edge guys. This is a little later. We might have to go later for this guy. Ogabani.
No. That's not it.
Orca Unkawa.
That might be the one.
That was terrible.
He's unrated 108. We that'd be overpicking, but are we going Ogabani? Orca
Unkawa? I'm pretty sure it's Ogbania Okoronkwo.
Whatever it is, that's who we're picking. We're reaching, baby.
We're reaching.
I mean, the whole point of this is names you can't pronounce,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how are we going to get any better than that?
Yeah, that's a, he's a. He
oh,
a,
there's.
And
there's,
and we feel a pass rushing need. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
There's a there's a few very African names in this draft.
Yeah. So now they're doing.
Or the other one, and I literally mean that. I mean, like, they are African. They're obviously African. These people have here. Like, here's Chukwuma Okorafor. Not Okafor. It's Okorafor.
I could butcher.
Yeah, well,
I could butcher.
We've got the New Orleans has the Okafor market cornered.
This is Okorafor.
I could butcher that name for years.
What else? There were a bunch of like really. Uchenna Nwosu.
Ooh, that's a good one.
From USC. He's an outside linebacker. He could help.
So we're going in the third round. We got a ways to wait. We're on pick 76.
That name just sounds like he'd be a badass football player.
Yeah, he's still there. Offensive lineman, Western Michigan.
Wait, where are we right now?
We're in the third round. We're at pick. It's our turn to pick. So right. The number we got.
So- Oh, wait, hold on. We overreached for who again? Can you tell me his name again, Ron?
Ogabania Orkar Wakaku.
Okay.
Yes. He's an edge from Oklahoma. He's got good, right, reach. Good. He's got good reach. He's got a lot of vowels in his name. That's key.
Right. Okay, cool.
Oh, I found a wide receiver that we need to pick up.
All okay, right, so go. we got
Equanimeous.
Oh, Equanimeous Brown from Notre Dame. I saw him.
Other receiver, St. Brown. Yeah.
So we got Kukawama Orca Afor from Western Michigan. He's an offensive tackle. They need a tackle. He could maybe.
Wait, is this the Okafor guy?
Okorafor? Okorafor, yeah.
Okorafor.
Chumbawamba Okafor. Kukawama.
Was that song that the band Chumbawamba played?
Not get knocked down, but I get up again. Yeah. I think he's the one, man, because he's right at 86. He wouldn't be a reach. He's a little bit of a value because we're picking at 90.
Draft him, Ralph.
Yeah. So we got
done.
We got him. We got So we can just do it in the fifth round. So now we got a long way to wait. So
all right, Nate, let's remind me again the names of our two players thus far.
We got Ogabayu, Oka. It's so terrible. And then we got Kokowama.
Somebody is listening to this and knows how to say these names perfectly and is screaming at the podcast.
They are.
Can we get Puna Ford?
We could if he's there. I
need me some Puna in my life.
So we're doing round four. So we're
waiting. We got pass rush and tackle, right?
Yeah.
Man, what could we use next? We could really use a tight end.
We could.
We got to get Equanimee St. Brown.
That sounds like a spinoff of a 1980s hospital. Like that's like a spinoff of St. Elsewhere's, and Denzel Washington is the doctor in a small town.
Oh, there's a Kamoko Touré.
Equanimee sounds like, I don't know, like a bad guy in Aquaman or something.
I
yeah.
Okay, we're on the clock at round four. They got a lot of options here. We got Nyheim Hines. Is that?
Yeah, I saw him. Yeah.
Kiki Kuta.
Kiki Kuti.
Kiki Kuti. That.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is he a little jitterbug receiver? He's good from Texas Tech.
He's a little white guy.
No, yeah, he's also that way.
He's also Kamoko Tara, Tare, Kamoko Tare. That's another is. If Shaquem Griffin's name was harder to pronounce, he'd be a definite guy you'd want to get. Godwin Igwabuke. He's a safety.
What position does he play?
He's safety. They're deep at
What number pick is this? What number?
This is number 127.
No. Oh, okay.
We don't need a safety. What we got at receiver or tight end?
We got Kiki Kutwa. We got.
Yeah, go ahead and take Kiki Kuti.
Okay.
He'll help us on kick returns, punts.
All right. So now we're going to have two. Kadri Henderson. I like Darren Carrington II. Sounds like a name from Dynasty.
I think the next name we pick needs to be really easy for Ralph because he seems to have problems with like the John Smith.
Yeah, that made me mad. I did a poll today of like four names of like the hardest ones to pronounce. I did the Oklahoma guy, Ogbani Okur Nkwawa. And I did Kiki Kutwa, I think, and I did Josh Rosen. And Josh Rosen finished second. People said I couldn't. Like I'd say, but I think it's like 50-50 that I would say like Jay Risen, you know? Like it's totally fair. It's totally fair to think that, but it made me mad.
Oh, that's great.
All right, so we're on the clock.
Wait, is Hercules Mata'afa still available?
Ooh. What position does he play?
He's a D-end.
Oh.
Out of Washington State.
We need a D-end.
Hercules Mata'afa.
Hercules.
He might be gone because I don't see him on the thing. But we do.
What's the easiest name?
Yeah, no. If Godwin Igwabuiki is still available,
Joe
gotta
Osman
go
from Central.
Joe what?
Joe Osman.
No, it needs to be easier.
Wait, what about the defensive end out of Toledo? Ola. Sunkami Adaniyi.
Ebenezer.
Is that
Okanuguduki? we got.
How about Dane Cruikshank?
This is a good. Ola U Bunmi Rotnami from Old
That's
Dominion.
That's the ticket. That's the ticket. ODU, Virginia,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. He's overdrafting him by a lot because he's 349.
Perfect.
Wait, what about Folorunso Fatukasi?
What is that? What does he play?
D tackle.
What about Chikwi Obayashi from Wisconsin? I think
you're digging deep here.
I think Olabumi Ranami, like Rotella Obabuni Rotella. He's tomatoes and green peppers. from Old Dominion. We'll pick him. So now we got another pick coming, though, because we got...
Can we get Ade Aruna from Tulane?
What does he play?
He's a defensive end.
I don't
seriously like.
Oh, he's there. He's there. Ade Aruna. Ade Aruna.
Take him.
He's there. We got.
We need a green bean on the roster.
We're on the clock. So that's who we're gonna take from Tulane.
Yeah, we got him. So that'll.
That's a good question. Who's the last player the Saints took from Tulane?
I have no fucking idea. Have they ever? Like, I can't even. Like, not in my lifetime.
I mean, they must have in the 70s and 80s. I mean,
I'm looking this up. I mean, before Al Woods, it was like Nicky Savoie, right? Oh, no, they took Devery Henderson.
This draft is a work of art.
There are a lot of crazy names out there.
Wow.
A lot of, like, African names.
1985 is the last Tulane player. In the 12th round, a guy named Treg Songy.
That sounds familiar to me.
So, we're going to recap this draft. It's the Mona Lisa of bad name drafts. People sent me them. And they were hysterical, but I think we topped them all. We got 27. We got Ogbania Okor Onkawo. 91. We got
well done, Ralph.
Cook Wama Okor Afora from Western Michigan. He's a tackle. We got Kiki Kotwa. Is that right?
Kiki Kuti.
Kiki Kuti.
Yeah.
He sounds like a name of a Bond girl. 147, we got Ulubunmi Ratami, the edge from Old Dominion. And then we got it from Tulane, Ade Aruna. Is that how you say that?
I think you said Ade.
Ade Aruna. That's the draft of names that Ralph couldn't pronounce.
I'm really disappointed we didn't get a John Smith.
Yeah, we didn't. If we'd have gone the full seven rounds, we'd have done it. But I gotta say, I think we hit that one out of the park. I don't know that you.
Well done.
Well, so we got that. So now we'll go to
the Astros must have scored.
They did. My wife, the Astros are 8.
My wife,
the Astros are 8-2, and they lost to San Diego at home 4-1 on Friday. You would have thought they fucking were on a 12-game losing streak. She was losing her fucking mind. She doesn't equate baseball with like, oh, it's just one game, it's long season. She is like locked in. And I thought like winning the World Series would like calm her down and make her like less like locked in, but it made her like more locked in, and she's like ramped up the insanity, which is I didn't think was possible.
Nice.
It's good. I mean, and the thing is, like, that was the weird thing. Last year for the playoff game, she was not nervous at all because she's like, I treat all the games the fucking same, whether it's spring training or game seven. And I'm like, that's one way to approach it.
That's scary.
It is. It's very scary. But okay, so we got questions. So we got, it's from Will Dat 101. 1001. I'm Guillaume. I don't want to butcher your name. I probably just did. He asks, what's more likely scenario in 2018, Andrew? Michael Thomas gets better. Ted Ginn doesn't regress. 2016, Willie Snead is back. Meredith is signed and is good, and we are buying tickets to Atlanta in late October. Or Michael Thomas gets injured week 2. Ted Ginn drops a trabillion balls. Willie Snead gets arrested. Meredith doesn't sign because Bears match. And by late October, Ralph has finished the bourbon reserves of all of Houston.
Man, this is dark.
It is. That is the darkest timeline.
Jesus, man. I don't know. I can't think like that this early in the year.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be either or. I think, Guillaume, and the point is, and I was fighting with Twitter – people on Twitter last week, is it's okay to look at the Saints right now in April and be like, they've got to get a wide receiver or a tight end, whether it's Meredith and a tight end in the draft or something. They've got, like, they can't stay how they are at wide receiver because Coleman and Willie Snead aren't even signed. You know, they've got to do something, and it's okay to think that they're not okay at wide receiver. And one person they sent me on Twitter, they're like, it doesn't matter. Sean Payton can turn any receiver into a hobo into any good receiver. I'm like, that was true 5 years ago. And he's like, even if that doesn't work, they can just throw it to Kamara. I'm like, having Kamara catch 125 balls, that doesn't seem like a good idea to me. So I think they just need to add something. So Dave, this is a question from Dylan. What would be more fun? Hubbard falls to the Saints at 27 or Saints trade back into the second round and draft two of the top four tight ends?
Why would we want two of the top four?
Yeah. That ruined it for me. I mean, if they traded back and drafted two of the top DNs, I would say hell yeah.
That might even be a kind of exorbitant.
I would like one of the top four tight ends.
Yeah, or even a tight end, one of the top tight ends, and then a DN or something like that. That would be, I'm you know me, always love a good trade down.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Kevin Held is somewhere nodding fiercely.
Here's the thing, I guess, and we can get into it. We can get into it as the draft gets closer. But Andrew, as you look at the draft and you, not that we can know, because at 27, you don't have any fucking idea what the Saints are going to do, right? You don't know how it's going to go. Right. You don't know trade ups and trade. But like, as we get to like 21, 22, what's the scenario where you'll start going and you'll be like, man, it's really working out. If they don't trade down this year, it really is never going to fucking happen. Like, what's the scenario in your mind that would have to happen to, like, push them that direction? Knowing that they never have done it.
You know, I mean, first of all, I think all quarterbacks would have to be gone. So, you know, the top five guys, I think, you know, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, all those guys are gone. Mm-hmm. So, no quarterback falls to them. I think that Goddard, Hayden Hurst, and Gesicki, all three of the top three tight ends, would have to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, even like there's a couple receivers. Like I've seen Calvin Ridley dropping in some drafts, and I mean, if he fell to 27, and he's not my first choice, but I mean, I would be psyched to land him. So, you know, I think I would say playmaking needle movers would have to be gone, and it would have to be one of those things where like the best available picks are like an offensive lineman or Geis or, you know, just positions that they don't really need. And then I could maybe see them trading down. So I just think all the pass rushers would have to be gone. You know, I think in this draft, the most likely positions they are to either trade up for or definitely take at 27 would be receiver, tight end, defensive end, and quarterback, those four positions.
Here's an interesting
point. So I'd say if there's no good prospects at those four positions, then it becomes more likely they trade down.
Or if there's one quarterback on the board that the Saints don't like. You know, like everybody says they love Lamar Jackson or they love this guy or whoever, but if there's a quarterback left that they don't love and some team is like, hey, we want that quarterback, I could see them moving down. The dream scenario for me is trading with the Colts, because the Colts have four second-round picks. So, like, if the Colts would give you two of any of them for 27, I would do that deal in a heartbeat. Even if it's, like, the bottom two that they have in, like, the 50s and 60s, that would be my ultimate scenario. But here's an interesting question from James. I don't think the Saints are going to pass on a player just because he's from LSU. What would you think if they took Darius Geis at 27? And would it be possible? Andrew?
I don't think there's any chance they're taking Geis at 27, even if he's there.
Dave, you don't think? I mean.
No.
I will say this, and this may sound weird because Geis is a really awesome player. And look, Ingram's getting to his late 20s. He's free agent after this year. So it's not, it's like a 5% chance, but it's not like impossible, you know, that they would do it. But I have to say, it would make me a little bit sad if they did, because I want Mark Ingram to play this year and play awesome and then sign like a 2-year extension and be awesome for two more years and just like fucking own the record book for the Saints. Like, not just like past dues. I want him to be like 2,000 yards ahead and like 20 touchdowns ahead and like be like own all the Saints running back records for a decade. Like that's what I want. I want that to happen. So it would make me a little sad if they drafted Geis. I'm not gonna lie, but I just.
Well, you don't have to worry about that.
Unless
Connor Payton really likes him.
What? This is a good question, and I want you both to answer. So, Dave, I'll start with you. John asks, "What's a realistic hope for this draft class? Should we expect 2016? I don't think so, given the picks and placement.
I mean, I don't think you can ever expect 2016.
Or
I mean,
even
that's just
2017. 2016 was great, but 2017 is just absurd.
Oh, sorry. That's right. I'm thinking of 2017. You know, 2016 would be good. Even that would be that would be great. I think that might even be too lofty. I'm call me a pessimist, but I just feel like that at some point the Saints are going to come back down to earth with this drafting stuff, yeah. And they're going to, you know, I kind of don't believe that the last two drafts are the real Saints. I kind of feel like that those have been more of the fluky seasons, and we're going to go right back to where they used to be with the drafting. Obviously, hope I'm wrong, but
well, I mean,
I don't know if we got honestly, if we got two, we have like what, 7-8 picks. They're just mostly in the later rounds. Yeah. Huh? I mean, honestly, if we got two starters, I think that'd be pretty good.
I would take two starters today. You don't even have to assume who they are. I mean, I think Andrew, they'll probably regress a little because you can't just keep hitting these awesome drafts because the draft is a lot of luck. I mean, look at this year. They were going to draft Reuben Foster. They didn't. They were going to draft Mahomes. Lattimore fell. So it just worked out great for them, right? So they'll probably regress a little, but as long as they don't regress to like 2014 levels where they got Brandon Cooks and then a year later everybody's out the league, right? If they could get a starter and like a rotation dude, I think that's doable, right?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's got to be – you get a year one contributor that's kind of a rotation guy, you know, that maybe gives you what you got out of Hendrickson, you know, or maybe slightly better. And then you get one solid starter, and that's a good draft. I mean, they did so well with this last draft that they don't need to do as well.
If I told you guys that the Saints could get a 45-catch rookie tight end and a backup offensive lineman that would be okay and would play like 35-40% of the time because of injuries, and he would be okay, but that's all you're going to fucking get out of this draft. Or you can take what's behind door number two. Dave, what would you do if I offered you that deal?
What's behind door number two?
I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. It's like let's make a deal. It's a mystery. It could be 2017. It could be 2014.
Oh God. okay, so we get a rotational O-line.
You get a rotational O-lineman, like yep. Calumete quality, but like a little worse because he's a rookie, right?
Yep.
Oh, and you get a 45 catch tight end that scores three times.
I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, really,
now, Armstead's getting hurt.
So yeah. I know that. I like all of it. I mean, I like both of those things. The only thing that I would really love to have is something in the pass rush department on the edge. That's a good one. I'm gonna take my chances and do door number two.
Door number two. Congratulations, you got the 2014 draft. You got a 45 catch tight end. The rest of the guys will be out of the league.
Yeah,
Andrew, what would you do?
Sleep in team meeting.
Yeah,
I would go door number two as well, because I'm going to say that German Bushrod has an okay year.
And they're looking at Austin Howard too. That's another thing the Saints need. Yeah, he's a guy. He started games. You know,
and I don't know like who it'll be, but remember last year they like got Larrivious, and he came in like a rookie camp. he was a veteran that came in the rookie camp and he stood out so much. They were like, yeah, we're definitely signing this guy. And then he ends up being a pretty useful reserve over the course of the season. So I feel like there's a lot of guys like Larrabias, like a lot of random vets out there that just like, someone's going to come to rookie camp. They're going to look okay. Saints are going to sign them, kind of develop them. And as long as they're smart and capable enough and they've started a handful of games in the league, they can plug them in.
Yeah, that's true.
If necessary. So I'll go door number two.
Yeah, and the thing is with the Saints offensive line, as long as Breeze is there, he's super athletic and can get rid of the ball. And the thing is, Sean Payton, not only is he a brilliant offensive mind, when the Saints offensive line has had issues, I mean, this year they had a lot of injuries, right, and they shuffled it. But in the past, he'll protect guys. He's not Jason Garrett, where he's like,
Drew Brees survived having Charles Brown at left tackle, for God's sake.
He did, until Sean Payton was like, I've had enough.
You know? Yeah.
And barely survived.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember, I'll never forget this, but, you know, Chris Long used to live in my building, and in my office building, and he, I booked his wedding band. So, yeah, I was friendly.
He lived in your office building.
Yes. He had the whole top floor to himself. But he was a good dude. And, like, in the summer, he always hung out in Charlottesville. He was, like, a man of the people. So he would always come hang out, and, you know, I'd shoot the shit with him. Good dude. But I remember there was one preseason where he went up against Charles Brown. And this was when Charles Brown was, like, a rookie or second-year player. And Charles Brown gave up like 3 sacks in a quarter. Like Long just annihilated him. And I remember that offseason, the options for left tackle were Teron Armstead, who was a rookie from, you know, Arkansas Pine Bluff. And he hadn't even played. He was too skinny. Like he just wasn't ready. And then the other options were Jason Smith, who Chris Long had played with on the Rams, and Charles Brown. And he was like, yeah, like, how's your team looking? He'd always ask me how the Saints were looking anytime he saw me. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I feel okay, but man, I'm really worried about left tackle. And he just looks at me and he goes, you guys aren't going to start Jason Smith, are you? And I was like, no, actually, I think we're going with Charles Brown. And he goes, Charles Brown on the left side? And I said, yeah. And he just shakes his head.
Good luck, buddy. Good. Yeah. Good luck.
He actually had good things to say about Jason Smith, but that never really
Jason
worked
Smith
out.
Was a dude that he's one of the all-time bustiest tackles, like with like Mandarich and the dude that the Saints
like really? he had the largest breasts.
No, like he was very draft.
You just
bustiest.
You said he was the bustiest, so
he was the bustiest.
Well, you meant he was big bosomed.
That is probably also accurate.
That is. And who was the guy that? Oh, Greg Robinson, the guy that he played for the Lions last year. The Rams drafted him high, and he was a turnstile.
Oh, yeah, he was garbage.
He was a turnstile too. so yeah, of course we'll probably get an answer.
Who is the Saints guy we always call turnstile?
Bryce Harris.
Yeah, Bryce Harris. Yeah, sorry.
He's always on and off the roster. I wonder if he'll still be the guy that like has to have an Airbnb because he's on and off the roster constantly.
Yeah, I think that's always the metric of how are the Saints backup offensive linemen looking. is Bryce Harris on the roster or not?
Yes.
If he's not on the roster, then you should feel okay.
So, I think that's it.
By the way, today they had Zach Strief was guest hosting with Christian Garrick on WWL for Sports Talk.
How did that go?
Oh, yeah, how'd he sound?
I only listened to him for about 5 minutes. He sounded fine, but obviously they're
better or worse than Stinchcomb? Because I've always thought Stinchcomb was pretty good.
I don't know. I've never heard Stinchcomb do they weren't doing a game. It was like, you know, your afternoon, you know, your drive home, just Sports Talk stuff. Like, it wasn't really necessarily a play-by-play stuff or game stuff. But yeah, I mean, well, anything's better than Bobby or Deke, but I just think it's interesting. So obviously he's exploring that avenue.
Yeah.
In retirement.
If I had to pick a guy that would be really good at it, it would be him because he was really good with the media and he understood how the media worked. So he understood like what to what the, he understood in interviews like what the media wanted from him, and you know, he was always very honest with them and gave them good sound and all that. So he understands how it works. So he might be really good at that. So that's interesting at least. So on that note, we'll wrap it up. Only what is it? 15 days till the draft, gentlemen. So by Wednesday, we'll know if the Saints have a receiver or they don't. I would imagine as soon as this podcast is uploaded, Nick Underhill or somebody will have the breaking news. Probably, what's the female reporter for ESPN that always breaks Saints news? Diana.
Oh yeah, Rossini.
Yeah, she breaks a lot of Saints news. I'd put it on her that she'll break the Bears news. So anyway, for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.